Harry, did you hear Steve Bertrand making himself laugh during the news?
He can't help himself.
He can't help him. The news is fun.
Well, okay.
So what happened?
So, you know, the weather's pretty much straightforward generally, and I don't read the weather until I read it. There's a piece of paper here, and I grab it. And
that's how it should be.
So it's news to you, and it's news to me, or news to me, and it's news. So I'm looking at Saturday, and it says, light mix possible early, then becoming mostly sunny.
Oh.
And I've never heard those words put together before.
Yeah, that's
like
unusual.
That. So I don't know if they mean...
What does that mean?
Because I know there's some... I don't know if it maybe means partly cloudy and then mostly sunny, but there'll be a light mix. Maybe
Be a pleasant surprise no matter what takes place.
Maybe it's like the Little River Band, Todd Rundgren, mix like that.
That's sort of a mix.
Right.
Yeah, we'll find out. It's a day away.
I'll change that for 10:30.
All right, that's fine.
Sure. I'm a big fan of both Todd Rundgren and the Little River Band.
Yeah,
I wasn't putting them down.
Yeah, no. Tomorrow will be a great day. That other voice you hear besides Steve's and myself, that's Harry Tynowitz. Harry is filling in for Wendy, who has the day off. And as always, anytime Wendy has the day off, it's mysterious.
Yeah, what do you think it is this time?
I don't know. All I know is it's mysterious. And I don't want people to worry. I'm sure it's good mysterious. But boy, is it mysterious.
It's like Scooby-Doo mysterious.
Yeah, right. I would classify it as that, Harry. It's Scooby-Doo mysterious. So thank you again for coming in and participating. That's fun anytime you co-host.
Zoinks.
Exactly, zoinks. Since you're a sports fanatic, let's talk about yesterday. What a big day it was for Chicagoland sports. As Loyola, and I think it's been, is it 30 years since they've done this?
30, well, boy, they haven't been like in the tournament for like 34 years, something crazy like that.
Wow.
Al Frederick Hughes days, and they played yesterday, and Miami was supposed to beat them, University of Miami Hurricanes.
Yeah.
And Loyola just wouldn't give up. They played hard. They played for 40 minutes down in Dallas. And Miami went up by 3 with a minute left. Loyola answered with a 3 of their own. Miami came back and scored, and it looked like Loyola wasn't going to win. And then the Loyola guy got fouled underneath the basket, and they didn't call it on him. But Miami missed a free throw, and they missed the front end. And I think you know how painful it can be
missing
the front end.
Sure, it hurts.
And Loyola came down, beautifully executed play. Guy took like a long 3-pointer, should have been a 4-pointer.
Yeah.
And it swished. And Loyola at the buzzer, they're winners.
How about that?
That's fantastic. So now they're in the round of 32, and then tomorrow they'll play Tennessee.
Now, I want to say no one expected this, but you know who did expect it? The Loyola Ramblers expected it. I saw interviews with them over the weekend, last weekend, and they were very excited, and they said, yeah, we want to win. We're going to win.
They don't know. They don't know that they're not supposed to win. You know, they don't know that, like, they're not supposed to be there. They're not a big-time program. But you know what? They've been playing hard all year, and they're just like the coach. Really exciting. And so it's the only team from Illinois that we can cheer for.
Right. So overall, Harry, what is the effect this has on the basketball program at Loyola? Will there people who will, let's say they win another game or two. Let's go crazy and say they go deeper than that. Does this change the outlook of the basketball program at Loyola?
Well, I think it will bring in a lot of good people, but I, you know, with the good comes the bad, because you know that there's already coaches, there's already you know, athletic directors out there that are drooling to get the coach.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to come
after. So he'll get offers soon at bigger schools, bigger money offers at bigger schools to come coach for us. We saw what you did at Loyola. You could work wonders with our program.
Right. There's schools out there that are looking for coaches, and not just from colleges, Bill, but also from television shows.
Oh, really?
Yeah, sure. He'll get an offer from This Is Us.
Oh, you think he will? Yeah.
That show's not as good anymore. So
you always say that. Every time I talk to you, you throw in some kind of a reference to how This Is Us isn't good anymore.
Because I try to convince myself every week, okay, I'm going to watch it. It's going to be good. It's going to be like, it was great last year.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I start watching it. It's like 3 minutes long, and they're crying already. Stop crying.
You don't like having your heart tugged at?
Tugged at, yeah. Kicked in the...
Careful.
Yeah.
Careful. All right.
It's just too much.
Now, you have suggested, and boy, did Jasmine come through on this, the number one Loyola Ramblers fan.
Yeah. Right?
Now, tell the story, because we're going to have her on in about 20 minutes or so, but tell the story, because I know a little bit about this. This is very cool.
Yeah, she's Sister Jean, and she's 98, and you'd never know it by looking at her. She seems like she's, I don't know, 15, 20 years younger than that, and she's... She was involved with the 63 team. You know, sadly, the only time any college basketball team from the state of Illinois won the national championship was Loyola's 63 team. And of
course, she was a part of it.
She was a part of it.
Meaning she... What did she do? Did she coach the team? When you say she's a part of it, what exactly did she do?
She was with the team. She was actively...
Providing inspiration to the team?
Yeah. I mean, she's a huge basketball fan, and she's with the team now at the age of 98. So this is, what, 55 years later?
Yeah.
So she, I mean, she was no spring chicken.
So
then.
She'll give him like a pep talk or something. She'll sit him down and say,
and she she can say, "Hey, you know, you got to pick them up full court. Yeah. You know, you've got to do more of the pick and roll.
Yeah.
You know, last night she was on. They interviewed her after the game when nobody else could speak.
Yeah.
And she was talking about, well, the key was we were able to share the ball.
Wow. Good.
You know, I mean, so she's really, I mean,
that's
she's
excellent.
More than just a pretty face.
Yeah.
She's someone who understands the game, and you know, everybody we know knows people that went to Loyola, and it's just so great. Bill, you know someone.
My wife attended Loyola.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she was she part of, you know, she's too young to be on that 63
team. She did not play
team.
With the team, no. She was, no.
But it's really exciting for Loyola, and they're playing Tennessee tomorrow.
Yeah. And what do you think? I'm guessing Tennessee is a heavy favorite in that game, I'm guessing.
Well, they'll be favorite, but I think Loyola could win.
Yeah.
You know,
let's
especially
hope so.
If they're like, you know, if there's like a spelling test.
Then they're in good shape.
Oh, yeah.
Good. Let's hope that they concentrate less on the ball swishing through the net and more on spelling.
Tennessee's got one of the most backwards fight songs ever. Rocky Top, familiar with
that's
it?
Their fight song?
Yeah. It's like
one. You know that song. Yeah.
It's about like one, but a
Rocky Top
woman,
Tennessee. Yeah.
Right, woman's like half mule. I'm telling you.
Really? Are you sure?
Yeah, we'll get
the lyrics. Remember that. I don't remember that part. Oh, maybe it's true. All right, a big show coming up, including Sister Jean. She'll be joining us in about 15 or 20 minutes. We'll get her take on what happened yesterday and how far the Ramblers can go in the tournament. It's Bill Leff. I'm in for myself, and then Harry Tynowitz is sitting over there. He's in for Wendy.
You did a great job. Covering for yourself.
I hope I am, Harry. I'm just trying to do half the job I normally do, so thank you for saying that. A full show today. Sister Jean will join us. We just told you the story about Sister Jean. 98 years old.
98. How about that?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She's down in Dallas. She's in the locker room with the winning Loyola Ramblers.
Very inspirational. She'll join us at 10:35. Kurt Wagner joins us at 11:05 from TVShowPatrol.com to talk television. And Harry, you can certainly ask him what you ask me every time you see me. Why is This Is Us so bad? I don't understand your question. I love the show.
I'd rather talk about other shows.
All right. We'll see what
you
comes
up. You think it's still just as
good?
Oh,
yeah. I love it. I like knowing that at some point during the hour I watch the show, they're going to do their best to make me cry. I think that's their goal every week, is to make the people who watch the show weep.
You could just talk to my wife for an hour on the phone.
I couldn't believe it. I had the box of Kleenex ready for the finale.
Yeah.
I did not cry.
You didn't cry at all.
I did not.
Now, I haven't seen it. Don't give anything away yet, Mayor, because
okay.
I haven't seen it yet. And, Harry, you haven't seen it.
It's not as emotional as
it's
it
not?
Been.
No,
I didn't. Yeah.
It seems early to do a season finale, doesn't it?
Yeah, it went so
I'm
fast.
I'm surprised they don't do
heck?
A few more episodes.
Well, if you try thinking about baseball, it'll last longer.
Thanks. That's solid advice.
Wait, can I write that down here?
Write it down.
Oh, it's too late.
Write it down. Rick Goldschmidt will join us. He is the archivist for Rankin Bass. You know, they're the ones that put out all those stop-motion animated specials at Christmas time, Harry, but they also did other holidays.
Well, now you're going to tell me about Rankin Bass. Rankin Bass, geniuses.
Yeah.
I mean, if you grew up in America, you were entertained at Christmas time by Rankin Bass, and I really don't... Like, I barely remember a Peter Cottontail Rankin Bass
thing. That's one
thing.
Of the ones Rick will be talking about. There was also a St. Patrick's Day one.
Uh-huh.
You remember Pauly the Purim Pony. That's one that didn't get a whole lot of...
No, I don't remember Pauly the
Purim. It didn't get a lot of airplay, but...
Well, right, Moses.
He was in one. He was,
Boy, Rankin Bass. I mean, the Rankin Bass stuff is great.
Yep.
I mean, just top of the line. The great memories I have of Rankin Bass, because they would take a celebrity and make them look like a celebrity.
Mickey
would
Rooney, Fred Astaire,
Burl Ives,
right? As Sam the Snowman.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Why'd they make Burl Ives look like Mickey Rooney?
I don't know. That's we'll ask. Mm-hmm. We'll find out. While we're on that sort of topic, I have to ask you this. Wendy and I discussed this upstairs during the bonus hour yesterday, but I'm interested in your take. Are you as shocked as I am that Toys R Us is going to be no more?
It's really the end of an era.
It is, isn't it?
Toys R Us was a destination for me as a kid, for as a as a, you know, 20-year-old, when I had kids, loved taking them to Toys R Us. Because not only do they have, like, what you'd go for, you know, I want to get the, you know, I want to get the board game hands down. Mm-hmm. I want to get Battling Tops. Mm-hmm. So not only would you go there to get your board game, but then you'd have, they'd have, like, the, you know, the cars and the trucks.
Right.
Kids could go in everything. A fire truck. Everything was there at Toys R Us.
Did you feel like you were in, oh, go on, Steve.
I coached Noah in soccer when he was five.
Yeah.
And, like, in game one, he got hit in the face with the ball. So then in games two, three, four, five, and six, he just, I'm not ready, Dad. I'm not going to play, Dad.
Oh.
And, you know, I'm the coach. My kid won't play.
Oh, did you tell him to walk it off?
For the first month. And then finally, desperately, I said, Noah, I know if you'll play, you'll like it. You just have to go back. I know you'll play. Look, Noah, if you play today, after the game, I will take you to Toys R Us and get you whatever you want.
It was probably used as bribery more than anything else in American history, Toys R Us. I always felt like when I was in there, like I was in a huge toy box, you know, that there was just different areas of the toy box that I could visit.
It wasn't just a store. It was like a toy land.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The game wall was impressive. When you'd first walk in, all the way on the right-hand side, they had all the games alphabetically.
Bill, you've got the world's greatest collection of action figures, of toys. Do you have anything that you purchased from Toys R Us?
Oh, so many things.
Who was born there?
Well, neither of my children were born there. Both conceived there, but not actually born there. But one of my favorite things to do is...
Yeah, nothing gets me more in the mood than getting an easy bake oven.
Yeah. That's where they would always... Like every year now, if you're a kid listening, you'll have no idea what I'm referring to, but... Back when hockey games were popular, like Bobby Hull Hockey or Bobby Orr Hockey or Gordie Howe Hockey, Toys R Us always had this one aisle that was all like sports games and stuff, and you could kind of try out the games.
Knock hockey.
Yes. Yeah. But I always liked trying out whatever the latest version of Bobby Hull Hockey was. Just over the years, I can't tell you how many happy moments I've had in a Toys R Us and the mere fact that they're going away. And what you said was so true, too. Much like Disneyland or Disney World, where you had certain memories as a child of being there, then you also had new ones of being a parent and taking your kids there. I'll just miss it tremendously.
And, you know, and you would drive by it. You know, you're going like, you know, there was always one like by Bob Chin's out in the suburbs.
Right.
And so you'd be like, drive by it. You would just smile. You know, it's like a happy place.
Yeah. Yep. It's also one of the places, I've talked about this before. My dad had a way, like when we would drive somewhere, like say we'd be on our way to visit somebody and you'd see that there'd be a Toys R Us and you'd say, can we stop there? Is there some way? And my dad was famous for this phrase, oh yeah, on the way back. And then he'd always take a different route back so that we wouldn't actually have to go in.
That's wrong.
He would do that with miniature golf places, with go-kart tracks, and with Toys R Us. Can we go there? On the way back, we'll go there.
And what about like Babies R Us or Jockeys R Us?
What about it?
They're gone too?
Oh, I don't know what's going to happen. I would imagine if Toys R Us is going away, I would imagine Babies R Us would also be going away. I think Jimmy Kimmel last night said Babies R Us is up for adoption. So they don't know exactly what's going to happen with that yet. But very, very sad, the end of an era. Upstairs, I was telling Wendy yesterday that there had been so many other like heirs to the throne that never came true. Like there was Circus World Toys for a while. There was Play World for a while.
Nothing.
There was FAO Schwartz, which in New York was a bigger deal than Toys R Us, but not so much here. It didn't do as well here.
FAO Schwartz is really cool in New York and for one movie scene in Big.
Right. They also had FAO Schwartz for a while. They had what might have been the coolest toy store anywhere in Caesar's Palace, you know, in the shops where you'd go walking around.
Yeah, I remember. I know the Caesar's Palace shops. I don't remember an FAO Schwartz there.
Like a 4-story tall. It was just fantastic.
Really?
Yeah. And in there, they had a mock-up of the cantina scene from Star Wars. It was a kid's bar.
Oh.
You'd go up to the top floor, and it was like the cantina. They had full-size cantina players like in Star Wars.
That's
really fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. You've of course seen the Family Guy parodies of Star Wars.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They're spectacular.
Yeah.
When they're in the cantina and the song ends and the band leader goes, "What song do you want to hear?" And he covers his mouth, his hand. Play the same song. All right, we'll play the same song.
Same song again. All right, so a full show ahead, all kinds of things. We're glad that you're listening. It's Bill Leffin, and then Harry Tynowitz sitting in for Wendy. Stick around. It's WGN.
Sister Christian, oh, the time has come, and you know that you're the only one.
What is so funny? This is as appropriate could be, Harry. It's Bill Leff. It's Harry Tynowitz. What a game yesterday as the Loyola Ramblers shocked a lot of people and stole one. They stole one.
It was a great victory, huge. Not just for Loyola, but for all of Chicago. And yeah. The only team in the state of Illinois that we can cheer for right now.
Who better to talk to than the biggest fan of the Loyola Ramblers, team chaplain for the Loyola University of Chicago NCAA tournament bound basketball team. Not just bound, they're in it. Sister Jean joins us right now. Sister Jean, be honest, how excited are you yesterday and today?
Oh, yeah, I can hardly believe it. And this morning when I woke up, I said, no, it's not a dream. It's surreal. It was just so perfect. We had a little struggle in the game because Miami was seated in a better place than we were. But we were determined. Our team was united. And they just did what they're supposed to do and go Ramblers.
Yep.
Sister Jean, I thought that your guy got fouled on the play possession before that when you guys missed a shot and your guy got the rebound underneath the basket and went up for a shot. I thought there was a foul call. How do you keep from yelling at the officials when they blow a call during a big game like that?
Well, of course, many times I have little things or big things to say about the referees, but I have to kind of keep it to myself. And I know the coach can't talk about it. The guys can't talk about it. But I always say that I can talk about it and get it out of my system. But it paid off.
It did pay off.
It paid off.
Mm-hmm. Do you mind, Sister Jean? I hope you don't mind to say how old you are. Usually I wouldn't ask a guest, but I already know the answer. Is it okay to say?
Of course, I'm 98.
98 you know, years once old.
Once a woman gets a certain age, she's proud to say how old she is. There's certain periods in life when nobody wants to say how old right. she is.
Right.
My wife has our kids say that she's 10 years older than she is, so everybody thinks she looks great.
Oh. How about that? That's beautiful. So what would you say that part of your zest, your enthusiasm, is this team? Are they keeping you young to some extent?
This team gives me life, and I say as I deal more and more with students this age, they keep me young at heart. That's what's important.
Sure.
And I learn new words every year and learn a lot every year from them. And this team is special because they are so united. They are a team. They're truly a team. They like each other, and they're not afraid to share the ball on the court.
Mm.
And that's what they did yesterday. They knew by that time Dante was hot. He was a little cold in the first half, but he did other good things, but he didn't make points. But when we were pushed and shoved to push, and they knew Dante would do it.
Now, you're okay with a guy named Dante because Dante's Inferno wasn't the prettiest picture. You know that, right?
Well, I have to say that I've known Dante for many years because his brother was a basketball player at Loyola, too.
Oh.
And so I think it just runs in the family.
So are you helping recruit? Are you, like, going off to the Simeon and these other top high schools and helping recruit players to the team?
Oh no, that's up to Porter and the other coaches. And I have to say that they've done a great deal of hard work to get the young men they have. And people always say to us, you know, take some more of the Chicago young men. And I think I know he's trying to do that. But we also get talent from other spots, and you could see that on the court yesterday.
Now
and you'll continue to see it.
How realistically, Sister Jean, how far do you expect the Ramblers to go? Do you expect them to win a couple more games?
I do. I told someone else on your channel the other day that I had two brackets. I had a Cinderella dream bracket, mm-hmm. and I had a realistic bracket. And he said, well, we know what the Cinderella one is, so we're not going to talk about that. I do have Loyola going to the Sweet 16.
Oh, nice. I hope you're right.
I keep saying today when people talk about tomorrow night's game, I say, oh, Tennessee, watch out. Here come the Ramblers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned Dante. So there's 9 seconds left in the game yesterday, and Miami misses the front end of a free throw. The Ramblers get the rebound. They come racing down the court, and everybody goes to the ball handler, who passes it off to Dante Ingram. That wasn't a three-pointer, Sister Jean. That was so far away, it should have been a four-pointer.
It was at the NBA line.
Right. How religious did you get when that ball was in the air?
Oh, I said my Hail Mary. Beforehand, we had asked. We always pray ahead of time at the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And so... my prayer included, as I always say, good and gracious God, I said, we're very confident going on this court today. And God, I said, we do need your help, but we'll do our share. We'll play our best. We'll play with our hearts. We'll play with our heads. We're confident. We will keep away from the fouls, and we'll try to steal the ball. We don't want to get hurt. We hope the referees call the game as they should, freely for each time, very fairly. And we just have to get in there and do this. And we want to see the big W when the buzzer goes off.
Yep. Sister Jean, they always show the crowd, like if you watch the World Series or the Super Bowl, the NHL Finals, they show the crowd and you see a lot of people all of a sudden finding religion and praying during those last moments. You must have like an express lane, though. You've put your time in. Your prayers must be answered very, very quickly.
Well, the team spirit and the teamwork and the coaches work, too. It's really their celebration. And our fans, we had so many fans there yesterday that I believe you could hear us all over the stadium.
Yep.
And so it was fantastic. People came from distances and came in buses and planes and all that just to be with us. And they were all wearing their Loyola signature scarf, which, by the way, everybody in the tournament wants to buy our scarf.
I'm sure of it.
Even though they're not their school colors.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Right. It just makes me want to cheer for Loyola, and it makes me want to play Where's Waldo? Sister Jean, you're 98. When you went to college, was God a student there?
He was always in my life.
Oh, good.
Does this make you think of the 1963 Loyola championship team, the only team from Illinois to ever win the entire tournament?
Oh, yes. And I'll be honest, we don't want anyone else to win it. When Champagne was playing in the final game one time, we were just hoping that we would still be the only one to do that.
Wow. You take it very seriously. I like that, Sister Jean. That's great. Such an honor to talk to you. We were so excited to see the Ramblers win yesterday. We hope that it happens again. We hope they go as deep as they possibly can. But I can only imagine the thrill and excitement it must bring to you.
Oh, it does. It is so gratifying to see that after all this hard work that Porter and the team have put into it, that we reach this part of the tournament now. And our fans are great. And those fans who were not with us had a watch party at school. We couldn't have the whole school come here. But they said that they just had a great time yesterday and that everybody was just so excited. And this is great to have this kind of spirit, especially as we get toward the end of the semester and then know that they go home just really happy about what we've done.
Sister Jean, I know that you are very much an integral part of this team, that you're sending emails to not only the head coach but the entire coaching staff after a game. Every player gets an email from you going over their game and sharing your perspective and keeping everybody's attitude positive. Now, the only negative I can find from this incredible season and this wonderfully exciting game yesterday is history has taught us that sometimes when these young coaches from these mid-major schools do very well with the team, then a lot of the big colleges come calling with these multi-million dollar offers. Have you thought at all about a school like, you know, the University of Connecticut or Louisville? You know, I'm trying to steal your coach from you.
Well, we all have that feeling, but our president has a written commitment to do what she can to keep him at Loyola. So
good.
That commitment should stand firm. Anyhow, I think that Porter really likes Loyola. He likes the spirit of the team. He likes the students. The students respect him. They say at a game, we want Porter. And so they have a very, very friendly connection with him. Porter graduated from Creighton University. He's well steeped in the Jesuit principles. And I think our students, our team members, learn more than basketball from Porter.
No doubt about that. Sister Jean, good luck the rest of the way, and thanks for talking to us today. Take care of yourself.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. The great Sister Jean. All right, let's do this.
Bye.
We're going to take a quick bye, Sister Jean. Thank you. A quick break, but
thank
I've
you.
Got some great prizes to give away. It's the St. Patrick's Day game. We need two contestants. Give us a call right now at 312-981-7200. We'll line that up next. It's Bill and Harry on WGN. Harry, what takes place tomorrow?
Harry and Carm. Carm and Harry,
Harry
on
and
the
Carm,
beach.
Right.
Yes.
I was going St. Patrick's Day, but a
right.
nice plug. A nice
right after Blackhawks hockey.
Right.
St. Patrick's Day is tomorrow.
Greenhawks hockey. Just for
Green,
the day.
Right, Greenhawks hockey.
Just for the one day. All right, so here's what we have. Some fabulous prizes lined up. How do we give them to you? By playing the St. Patrick's Day game. It's Pat, Patrick, or Patty. Give us a call right now at 312 981-7200. We'll go with two of you. You'll square off, and the winner will win some fabulous prizes.
Your daughter last night, Dad, I've got to talk to you about something really important. I'm working on Pat, Patrick,
Patrick
or Patty.
You got to have priorities here. You know that. All right, let's meet our contestants. We'll go to line one. Is this Mike?
What's up, boys?
Mike, how are you?
Oh, doing fantastic.
Mike, tell people just a little something about you, a fun fact, so they can either root for you to win or against you.
Well, regarding St. Patrick's Day, I am a complete dolt and know nothing. So I'm hoping with Harry in the studio, this might be a little geared towards sports than more than St. Patrick's
Maybe,
Day.
But maybe not. We'll find out what happens. And where are you from, Mike?
Schaumburg, Illinois.
Schaumburg, Ill. Okay, I'm putting that down. Mike, stay exactly where you are. You'll be playing against Linda. Did I just lose Mike? I did. Mike, call back as soon as you can.
Gilligan.
I shouldn't have buttons. Linda, it might just be you. I've dropped Mike. Tell us a little something about you, Linda.
No.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm a little bit Irish, and I have, I'm at work today, so I decorated with a shamrock plant, a leprechaun, some
You're living it up.
Green and white cookies, some chocolate Hershey Kisses.
Ah.
It's a celebration here.
Well, even if you don't win, it sounds like you've already got prizes. You've got everything going over there.
What do you do, Linda? Fun.
I'm a data entry clerk.
Oh, nice. Very nice. And you're from where?
Chicago.
From Chicago. All right. Jazz, do me a favor. Lock them both in just so that I don't...
You don't trust yourself.
I don't trust myself here. I'll be honest with you. All right. Linda, I know you're there. Linda from Chicago's there. Mike, can you also hear me?
I'm back, baby.
All right, you're both there. Okay, good. Here's how it works. It's Pat, Patrick, or Patty. I'll ask you a series of questions. The answers are all celebrities, famous people, whose names are either Pat, Patrick, or Patty. That could be their first name, it could be their middle name, or it could be their last name, but they are all known by those names, Pat, Patrick, or Patty. The first question is worth 100 points, the second 200, all the way up to 1,000. When you know the answer, just say your name. Use your name as your buzzer. Mike, let me hear your buzzer.
Mike.
Yep, it's working. Linda, let me hear yours.
Linda.
Absolutely. Both working. All right. Like I said, there are 10 questions, each worth from 100 to 1,000 points. We'll start at 100 and build up to 1,000. Right now, of course, you're both at zero. Here's question number one. Oh, are there any questions, guys, before we start, or does everybody know the rules? Everybody's good?
Okay.
I get it.
Excellent. Here goes. Question number one, worth 100 points. In 1975, this Chicago native replaced Chuck Woolery as the host of Wheel of Fortune.
Mike.
Linda.
Mike was first.
Mike was first.
Mike, go ahead. Say it one more time.
Pat Sajak.
Yeah, absolutely right. Mike, you're the first on the board with 100 points.
And that's the way you play.
That's how you play it. Question number two. This NHL right winger has won 3 Stanley Cup championships.
Mike?
Patrick
Kane.
Absolutely right, Mike. a 200-point bonus.
Trouble,
no, you're not in any trouble. We were only two questions in. You have nothing to worry about, Linda. Right. Plenty of chances.
After next season, it'll be four.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Harry, very optimistic. Very optimistic. Question three is worth 300 points. Linda, if you get this one right, the score is tied. Mike, if you get this right, a pretty sizable lead. Here goes. Born in Beloit, Wisconsin, she is the most successful woman in the history of open wheel racing. Nobody getting that one. Harry, tell the kids the right answer there.
She's dating Aaron Rodgers. She's Danica Patrick.
Danica Patrick is the right answer. Harry, you now go into a lead with Mike. First place. Mike, you have 300. Linda, not on the board yet, but there's still seven questions. No reason to panic. Question four of Pat Patrick or Patty goes like this. His pottery scene with Demi Moore and Ghost is still considered the sexiest pottery scene, Mike.
Patrick Swayze.
Patrick Swayze is correct. Mike, you're at 700. Linda, I know it's coming. This would be a good time to start catching up. Here goes.
I said my name, but it wasn't quick enough.
I'm giving you 5 points for your name. So it's 700 to 5. You're catching up already.
So rallies start.
This is how it starts. Question 5 is worth 500 points. Again, the answer will have the name Pat, Patrick, or Patty somewhere within it. Here goes. She loves rock and roll, so put another dime in the jukebox, baby.
Mike? Pat Benatar.
Pat Benatar is right. 1,200 for you, Mike. Linda, 5. Here goes. Question 6, worth 600 points. This follically challenged Englishman is famous for saying, to the bridge, number one, as captain of the USS Enterprise.
Jeez.
Uh-oh. Nobody getting that one. Harry, the right answer?
Patrick Stewart.
Sir Patrick Stewart, absolutely right.
Engage.
And then get married. That's how it usually goes. 1,200 points for you, Mike. Linda, not yet, but there's four answers left. You could still do this. Question number 7, worth 700 points. Not only did he run Arnold's on Happy Days, he also taught Daniel-san how to wax on and wax off.
Mike? Pat Morita.
Yes. Nuriaki Pat Morita is correct. 1,900 for you, Mike. Linda, I'm going to give you 6 just because I feel like it. Question number 8.
For luck.
I'm going to give you 7 for luck. It's 1,900 to 7. Question 8 is worth 800 points. Believe it or not, Linda, if you get these three right, you could still overtake him and win. Here goes.
Okay, I'm ready.
Here goes. Question 8, 800 points. This handsome former child actor played Dr. McDreamy on 43 of Grey's Anatomy's
Mike.
51 seasons. Yes, Mike.
Patrick Dempsey.
Yes. 2,700 to 7. Question 9, worth 900 points. This longtime CBS sportscaster specialized in football, golf, and tennis.
Mike.
Yes, Mike?
Pat Summerall.
Wow. 2,700 to 3,600.
It's okay. Linda, the last question is worth 3,594 points.
Right. You could still miraculously do this, Linda. Don't give up.
I can do it.
All right. Question 10, worth 100 points. In the 1960s and 1970s, this deadpan comedian ran for and lost his bids for presidency every 4 years. This is a tough one. No one getting that one, Harry?
Pat Paulson.
The late, great Pat Paulson. Here's what it means. Linda, you're walking away. You're in second place, but you're still getting a prize. A Lou Malnati's gift certificate will come to you. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com.
And Linda, remember this. You came in second.
Second place. That's not bad. Second place is not bad.
I gave Mike an easy win there.
Well, that's all right. That's okay. Mike, you've got a bunch of prizes coming your way. A desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men. Also a pair of tickets to the Chicago Chocolate, Wine, and Spirits Expo on April 21st and 22nd at Plumbers Hall in the Chicago West Loop. Sample artisan chocolates and foods and see demos on wine and food pairings. Get tickets at Chocolate, Wine, and Sports. I'm sorry, spiritsexpo.com. All that's coming to you. Thanks for playing, guys. Stay on the line, and Jasmine will get all your info, okay?
Thank you, guys.
All right. And to you, thank you. Oh, Linda, how about that? So nice.
Even in defeat. And Linda, I think your strategy was just off.
Rope-a-dope.
You knew this.
Rope-a-dope.
You should blow off work the rest.
I should agree my name first. Right?
Right. That's what you should do at work the rest of the day. Just keep yelling out your name earlier.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Whenever somebody asks you a question, just, Linda!
Practice right now. What would you do, Linda?
Linda, give it a practice.
Linda.
Yeah, like there, that. That's perfect.
Yeah.
All right, stay on the line. Jasmine will talk to both of you. We'll take a quick break, then some news. Bill and Harry on WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff and Harry Tynowitz, who's sitting in for Wendy. Wendy will be back on Monday. We are joined right now by Kurt Wagner. You know Kurt. Hi, Kurt.
Hello.
He talks TV with us. He's from TVShowPatrol.com. It's right there on your computer, TVShowPatrol.com. How are you, Kurt? Everything good?
Great.
Thank you for coming in today.
Yeah.
Great to see you. Harry and I were having, I want to say a disagreement, but it became a fist fight is what it became. He maintains that This Is Us, as great as it was in its first season
it was great.
Is no longer great. That's what Harry says.
Do you think that's because the weekly onslaught of hanky pulling stories is wearing you down?
I don't mind the crying. You know, kind of. Bill pondered if it was maybe I was not happy to have my heart tugged at, my heartstrings tugged at. I don't mind that. I just think like they've kind of like the gimmick. I don't want to say gimmick because it was so very real how they would go back from
the time shifting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was spectacular.
Yeah.
And, you know, the surprise of it all. And then like they added Jack's brother in one episode. But it's just to me, it's almost become like a caricature of itself. It's the same.
You see it that way, Kurt?
It's the same type of story. Week in and week out, and I just get the feeling like, certain characters. I mean, I don't care about the mom.
Mandy Moore's character,
no,
Rebecca?
And I think the makeup is bad on her.
Oh.
She looks like she's younger when they put her in mom makeup.
Interesting.
I don't think she looks younger.
I mean, she looks like a kid who's been like trying to look like her mom.
What are your thoughts?
Somebody just did a big story. Where did I see that Variety about how they do the makeup for her? But apparently not very well, according to Harry.
Do you have super HD instead of regular HD?
I might. But, you know, I just it was so great last year, and I was so excited for this season.
It's hard to do that because the first year, of course, is, you know, you don't expect, like even that first episode, you don't expect the surprise that you got.
Well, there were, you know, if you look at those first few episodes, there was a surprise. Like in the very first episode, you didn't know that the three of them were brothers and sisters until almost the end of the episode.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
Then there was the episode where Jack's old partner is her new husband. You didn't know that.
Right.
And that was a surprise.
So there's all those things happening. But I think, you know, I watched the wedding episode. Was that this week?
It could be. Don't give away too much.
No, but all I wanted to say was it struck me at one point as, why don't these people just get over it? You know, why
then you
can't
wouldn't
they
have a show though.
Be happy.
No, there's no. If
I know,
they're happy,
but
there's
I mean,
no show.
I think that goes to what Harry's talking about is that it just starts to feel sort of sane,
even when there's a wedding.
Yeah, it's like just shut up and be happy.
My wife and one of my daughters fast forward through any of the scenes that aren't Randall's family.
They love Randall's family,
but when it's not Randall's family, they fast forward. They don't want to see the Kevin stories or the Kate stories. They're like, complaining.
Right.
They want to see the good stuff.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Possibly, yeah.
Hmm.
I kind of agree a little bit.
So I love
the woman who plays his wife.
Yeah, me too. The one is Beth.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's great.
She's very good.
Susan Karachi Watson, I believe is her name. Isn't this a bad sign, though, if we're only two seasons in and people like Harry are already saying, all right, the gimmick has run its course for me. I don't want to watch it anymore. That's bad two seasons
in. It is, but apparently Harry's in the minority because it's still doing really well.
It does, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm Jewish?
He's not saying that, Harry. He's not saying that, no.
But it's kind of like Lost. You know, with Lost, you know, after a few seasons, people said, oh, this is getting old, they're repeating itself. But like the way the second season started out, right, with Simon showing up, I mean, they kept adding characters that were different, that were unique, that were great. And how do you add characters on an island where a plane went down?
Right.
You know, but I thought Lost was very good for a while.
Wasn't it a missed opportunity on This Is Us? They established, as we had said, Jack has a brother. We didn't know he had a brother, and then they show that he has a brother. So in my head, I'm like, well, here's 6 months worth of storyline. We find out about Jack's brother, but then we find out, no, he died in the war, you know?
Yeah.
So,
but
that
he can still come back.
That was canny?
That's the craziness of the show.
Well, they could do flashbacks about him.
I mean, Jack, you know, Jack's going to be around for a while.
Yeah,
still, too. You know, Milo and the guy who plays Kevin, Justin, are going to be at C2E2.
Yeah, I saw that.
They're doing a panel and
Autograph
signings.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. So people in Chicago can go get there.
And gawk at them.
Yeah.
And Harry, you can go and get there, this express your displeasure. I used to love you. What happened?
But, you know, maybe the writers will hear that in season three.
Yeah.
Something will come along.
A robot dog. I bet they had a robot dog.
It does feel a lot like
Cousin Oliver.
Yep, here comes Cousin Oliver.
They're back to that angst.
Yeah, maybe. All right, Kurt Wagner's here. Do you like your angst? Do you like your TV angst? TVshowpatrol.com. We'll keep you up to date on what's what. We'll pick this up next. It's Bill and Harry in for Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff and Harry Tynowitz. Harry sitting in for Wendy, who will return on Monday. Our guest is Kurt Wagner. He's a writer over at TVshowpatrol.com.
Am I really a guest anymore?
I don't know. You're part of the family. And whenever we time shift, Harry wants to cry but won't let himself cry.
I don't get the gift bag anymore, no. So I must not be a guest.
No, you're part of the family now. Yep. Like it or not.
The gift bag's much better now.
So. Yeah, I know.
Sorry.
Too bad. Kurt, we started this thing a couple of weeks ago where you do a pick of the week, and it's been very successful. Everybody enjoys
Everybody
this.
Everybody loves
it. What are your... This week, more than one pick. You have two picks this week.
I actually have three.
Three picks.
But we can just do the two.
It's an all-time record. What are your picks?
Because there's a lot of good stuff out there. So now these two are on streaming services, so...
For people who don't know, that means...
Online.
You can see it online.
Yeah, you can stream it online. Or you can, both of these, I think you can stream through your, sometimes cable has it in that apps thing.
And they put the whole season out, not just one episode at a time?
Right. Most of the time, yeah. So the first one is, we've talked about Acorn TV before, which is the sort of does a lot
TV
of
for squirrels.
Shows and stuff. TV for squirrels.
People with very short attention spans.
Chip gave it a thumbs up, but Dale?
Didn't like it. What's on Acorn TV?
This lawyer show called Striking Out. It's an Irish lawyer drama.
Yeah.
And it's really good. It's six episodes each season. The second season starts today.
Okay.
On Acorn, but you can see the first season. It's still there. And it's just this great, fun... They call it a drama, but it has a lot of very funny moments in it, you know? And it starts out, the first season starts out when Tara Rafferty, this lawyer at a big corporate firm or whatever... finds her fiancé. She leaves her hen party, her bachelorette party, and finds her fiancé in bed with one of their coworkers.
Oh.
And it doesn't go over so well.
No, I bet not.
Even though he begs for forgiveness. Oh. So she dumps him, leaves the firm and that where she worked with him, and starts her own practice, and she starts working out of the back office of this cafe.
Yeah.
It was a storeroom, and they turned it into this nice office for her. And this guy who she had defended becomes her assistant. Like he sort of creates his own job.
Yeah.
And becomes her assistant because he sees that she's kind of fallen apart and needs some help. But it's just really good and engaging and fun. And Amy Huberman is this Irish actress who plays the lead character, and she's just great to watch.
Does this take place in Ireland?
Yeah,
or are they
set in
it
Dublin.
Does. Oh,
yeah,
nice. All right,
Dublin.
Good.
But I had the chance to meet her at TCA in Pasadena.
Yeah.
And she's hilarious. And we got to talking, and it turns out that she spent a gap year in Chicago.
Oh, yeah?
When she was 19 years old.
Yeah.
And she told all these great stories.
Oh, good.
She lived in Roscoe Village, where I used to live.
Yeah.
Around the same time, she'd been to the Village Tap and hung out there. But she talked about working at a Greek restaurant where she wasn't supposed to serve liquor, but... the owners were like, well, you're Irish, we're Greek, we're the same.
You so can you can do it.
And do this.
Oh, nice. Good.
And
is she well known in Ireland? Because I don't know her.
She's hugely well known in Ireland. Yeah.
Amy Huberman.
And she won their equivalent of the Emmy for this show.
The IFTA Award?
Yeah, IFTA. I'm not sure what it stands for, but it's their equivalent of the Emmy for this show, for her role in this show. And so I have a story on my site right now about just her talking about her time in Ireland and us talking about all the things we know, or her time in Chicago.
I'm familiar with IFTA. It's the Irish Frickin' Television Award.
Are you sure, Harry? I don't know if that's
exactly
right.
What it is.
That is it? Okay.
And Neil Morrissey, who's this veteran British actor, is also
he's the co-star.
And I met him too. And I'll have a story up later today, both of them.
All right. So again, that is called Striking Out. And it's on either Acorn TV or you can stream it on your computer.
Yeah, I thought I was getting a baseball premise there, but she's striking out from her own.
Yeah, from her own.
Yeah, fine.
And this season's really good because all these big people she stood up against are now sort of coming at her.
Oh.
And coming at all the people who work with
that
her.
That sounds interesting. Yeah. That's pick number one for you. And the second one is?
The second one is called This Close.
Mm-hmm.
And it is on Sundance Now, which is Sundance TV's online arm.
Mm-hmm.
My guess it might come to Sundance TV also. But it's a 6-episode dramedy, and it centers on two deaf best friends in their late 20s, early 30s. And one's a gay guy, one's a straight woman, and she's engaged. It's the first series ever created, written, and produced by deaf people.
Oh, wow.
Shoshana Stern and Josh Feldman are the creators, and they play the two main characters.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's sort of unpolished. It's not like high-gloss, high-budget type of thing, but it's really good in that it's so real,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's sort of there. It's sort of like any other show about people that age, them trying to make it in the world and in romance and all that kind of stuff. And but it has this twist, you know. The stories are sort of universal, but the fact that like her fiance won't communicate with her is kind of difficult because she struggles to communicate with people all day long. You know, it sort of heightens that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you know, then they also show like the benefits of being deaf, if you want to say that. Like they have this funny scene where they're on a plane crossing the country, and there's this crying baby, and no one can get anything done, and it's
but
just really
fine.
Annoying. And they're just napping.
Oh, that's great.
Napping, you know, and it's just sort of funny little sort of life vignettes like that. But Zach Guilford, who used
from
to
Evanston.
Friday Night Lights from Evanston.
Yeah, I know Zach.
Is in it. He plays her fiance.
Yeah.
And I have a story up at the Sun-Times, him talking about the show, and he says this is the proudest he's been of a show, of anything he's done since Friday Night Lights.
Really?
Yeah. And he hopes that they do a season two and he gets to come back.
He did that show with Joan Allen about her son being kidnapped.
Right.
That was on a year or so ago.
Yeah,
he's a good actor.
Yeah. He is a good actor, and he told this funny story about how he was in Children of a Lesser God in college, and so he had to learn American Sign Language, but he said that they always made fun of him on the set of this show because he didn't do it very well, and they called it ZSL instead of ASL.
For Zach.
Zach
Sign Language. Very funny.
But he also met Marley Matlin, who plays the deaf guy's mom in this show, and she's also a Chicago native, and so they bonded over Chicago and Children of a Lesser God.
Mark Medoff.
Also Children of a Lesser God. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a good idea for a show. I know there's a lot of superhero shows on television already, but this is kind of a nice twist on one. The show Krypton on the Sci-Fi Network.
Yeah, I think I didn't like the first episode, but it starts to get better.
Oh, good.
But
it's like a prequel to Superman.
It's a prequel to Superman. It's Superman's grandfather when he was young.
Yeah.
On Krypton.
Yeah.
And Brainiac is looming through the universe. You know, the Superman's big
Brainiac
villain.
Ruins everything.
And he's off coming to Krypton, and he wants to suck up all the energy out of Krypton like he does. He takes over. He's a taker over of worlds or whatever. And so Seg-El, who is Krypton's grandfather, is trying to finish his grandfather's work, which was to prevent this from happening. But because of the religion on Krypton, they don't believe that there's life anywhere else in the universe.
Oh.
And so they actually get rid of his grandfather.
Would you say this was inspired to some extent by Gotham? Somebody said, well, we got to see the early days of Batman. So
possibly,
maybe the prequel to Superman's a good idea.
You know, they're just both DC and Marvel are trying expanding their reach everywhere. Yeah. And this show has been in the works for quite a while. And it took a while. It's been kicking around. It took a while to get it going, but now it's coming out.
So that's Krypton. Wednesday is the first episode on the Sci-Fi channel.
Yeah, and if you think the first episode's a little slow, they're just trying to establish everything.
Yeah.
It does get better. I've seen three of them.
You know, there's a show I heard that's coming out about Aquaman's grandfather.
What's that called?
It's called Sarasota.
Oh, Sarasota.
They just put a camera up in Sarasota last week, and everybody's like
Is
Aquaman's
coming on soon?
Grandfather.
I would love to see that.
It'll be on soon.
Sarasota coming soon to a TV near you.
It'll be on an
there's
arm.
There's a lot of wigs to be worn.
Yeah, I would imagine. I would think. Kurt, great to see you.
Yeah,
thanks
you
very
too.
Much. It's Kurt Wagner, everybody. Go to TVshowpatrol.com, and then on Twitter, if you want to follow Kurt and his knowledge of TV, it's at Show Patrol. Just that simple.
That's it.
Thanks, Kurt. Appreciate it. A quick break, then some news, then more show. It's Bill and Harry in for Wendy on WGN.
Oh, the golden gold of Ireland's only seen by leprechauns. For We mine it in the middle of the night. And we chop it into nuggets and we pile it into pots, which we bury for the early morning light.
It's Bill Laff and Harry Tynowitz. Harry is filling in for Wendy. She'll be back on Monday. Rick Goldschmidt joins us live in studio. We've had Rick on a bunch of times. Rick is the official Rankin Bass historian, biographer, and archivist. Nobody knows more about the magic that was Rankin Bass than Rick Goldschmidt, who's written several books about it and speaks about it. Rick, thanks for being here. How are
thanks
you?
Thanks for having me. Good
morning. What were we just listening to? What is that?
That was Art Carney from The Leprechaun's Christmas Gold, which has some funny lines in it, like, when your shoes get holy, don't come to me to save your souls.
Oh, truer words have never been spoken. Now, almost everybody is familiar with the Rankin-Bass Christmas specials because we saw them as kids and they reran them year after year after year. However, they did a lot of specials like this one, the St. Patrick's Day special, that weren't seen very often, right? How many times did that air, do you think?
Right. Probably aired about three times. Some of their specials only aired once or twice.
Yeah.
That one, I think they were intending it to be a Leprechaun St. Patrick's Day special, but they threw Christmas into the mix with Christmas in Killarney so that they could air it at Christmas. I think they got a little scared it wasn't going to be an annual thing.
Really? They knew before they made it, we better cover ourselves and do a Christmas version as well.
Interesting. Right, right, exactly.
You know, Mickey Rooney, Burl Ives, you know, Art Carney, were celebrities coming to Rankin-Bass saying, hey, put me in your specials?
Well, Arthur Rankin knew that he would introduce them to a different audience than their fan base and tell them, this is something you can show your grandchildren and your grandchildren's grandchildren.
Right.
I mean, it really was something that was special, and that some, like Burl Ives, for instance, that's what he's known for,
right?
Is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Sam the Snowman.
He's not really known so much for the big country that he won the Academy Award for, or Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, or all the great things that he did. So it really did introduce him to a totally different kind of audience, a family audience.
Think of how different that special would have been if he had been Big Daddy.
Oh, yeah.
Sam the Snowman.
Would have taken a totally different tone. But you got to wonder, like, if they were trying to appeal to kids, the names Fred Astaire and Mickey Rooney and Burl Ives might not come up. So I think they were pretty savvy saying, we're making kids specials, but with some of the classic older stars, right?
Yeah, and they had a writer named Romeo Muller who didn't write down to kids.
Yeah.
And that's why these things have lasted 50-plus years.
Yeah.
I mean, they're written with underdog characters that you really identify with, and then the villains get reformed.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's such a satisfying way of telling a story that it's lasted for so many years. They don't write like that today.
Right.
They write down with, you know, farting jokes and dumbed down stuff to just grab an audience, and, you know, people laugh at that, but it's not going to last for 50 years.
Right. There was a cadence to the writing. You mentioned Romeo Muller. I know he was the chief writer on these, but they had a certain cadence to them that was just so memorable. It was the way it was written. The example I always think of was in one of the Christmas specials where they leave the baby at the door and they go, it's a baby, Wingo, a baby what, Wingo, a baby, baby, Lingo, like that. I just love the way it was written.
Yeah, that was Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and I'm actually writing a book on the making of Santa Claus is Coming to Town right now with The Daydreamer, because that really had such a charm and a magic
Daydreamer
to it.
Was the movie about Hans Christian Andersen, right?
Right, right. And that one had
Danny Kaye, was he in it?
No, he was in The Enchanted World of Danny Kaye, The Emperor's New Clothes. But in that movie, they got Margaret Hamilton, the Wicked Witch, Ray Bolger as the Pie Man. They had Haley Mills and Burl Ives and Boris Karloff. So many great Academy Award-winning stars like Sessa Hayakawa. It's just a magical movie. So I'm doing a book about that,
too. Oh, that's excellent.
And the Rankin-Bass, you know, Christmas specials, they were for kids, but kind of like an episode of Law and Order SVU, they would always like find a way to end the segment on like some, you know, turning point of the script, like you know, oh my god, it's the Abominable Snowman, you know, dun dun dun.
Yeah. They were really good at playing up that end of it, weren't they?
Oh yeah. I mean, I can't say enough about the writing for Romeo Mueller. It was just unbelievable that they found this guy.
Yeah.
And
what was he doing prior to this? Was he doing other?
He was writing for Jack Benny.
Oh, really?
And Milton Berle.
Oh.
And he also wrote plays. They actually produced one of his plays off Broadway called The Month of Sundays. Rankin Bass did, but it didn't do well. So they kind of got out of that field.
So what was going on? We mentioned that the Christmas ones have been shown almost every year since they were first created. But with these other holiday specials, they did some for almost every major holiday. They were just kind of shelved and put away. What was the outcome with them?
The networks look at the ratings. So if the ratings dropped, they eventually would go off the air. But then they were all coming out on home video and DVD and Blu-ray.
Wow.
One, for instance, is Jack Frost, which has a major following. Robert Morse, my friend Robert Morse, was the voice of Jack Frost. Right.
Yeah.
And that particular special fits more with Groundhog Day than it does Christmas.
Really?
Because Buddy Hackett is part of me, Pete, the groundhog. And
it had Robert Morse and Buddy Hackett in the same special.
Right. And they always had Paul Frees as the villain.
Yeah.
It was always a great voice in anything that they did.
Yeah. They used stop motion animation, right? And so effectively. So the sets that we would see, how big were they in actuality? I always think of the Christmas ones. I think of Santa Claus's, I think they called it a castle, didn't they?
Right.
So like what size set would we have been looking at when they were making these?
It was on a big table. And I've seen pictures of the sets, and basically you can see the 2x4s around the edges of it.
Oh, really?
And it's so amazing that when they film that, you have no idea that it's a table size set.
No, it just seems vast.
It seems vast, and it seems like a different world.
Yeah.
It really draws you in. And I never really think of the puppets as puppets.
No.
Because they have such a magical quality, a characterization to them.
Mm-hmm.
Either there's great voice actors or they're superstars like Burl Ives or Fred Astaire. So you don't even think of them as puppets at all.
We've talked about this before, but there's no question that the work of Tim Burton is so heavily influenced by these Rankin-Bass specials, right?
Definitely. Mad Monster Party inspired Henry Selick, who directed Nightmare Before Christmas. But more so for Tim Burton, it was Vincent Price and Here Comes Peter Cottontail with the goth look, with the leather jacket and the gloves and the iron tail. I mean, that's where Tim Burton really was drawn in, because he loved Vincent Price, and his first short was Vincent.
Yeah,
and Vincent Price narrated it. So that was a biggie for him.
Rick Goldschmidt is here. I don't want to leave this part of it out, Rick, but you've got a big weekend coming up. Tell everybody where you'll be this weekend.
Yeah, I'll be at the Hollywood Show in Rosemont at the Hyatt Regency with Kathy Garver from Family Affair.
Sissy from the Family Affair.
Sissy. We got Jerry Mathers and Tony Dow. I know you had Jerry on earlier this
week. You helped with that. Thank you for that. It was an honor to talk to Jerry Mathers.
Yeah, so I've been talking to him quite a bit this week.
He's a good guy.
A cool thing is Lyle Wagner's going to be there.
Really?
And, Wonder Woman.
Really?
Well,
Steve Trevor on Wonder Woman. Some people might know him from The Carol Burnett Show.
The Carol Burnett Show for comedy.
Yeah.
But not many people know he screen tests for Batman against Adam West.
Almost got it.
He looked more like the character that Carmine Infantino and Murphy Anderson drew at the time. So he could have gotten it.
Right.
And he could have handled the comedy. So I'm bringing a Batman picture for him.
Oh, nice. Very nice. Rick Goldschmidt is here at Rick Goldschmidt. That's his Twitter handle. And enchantedworldofrankinbass.blogspot.com if you want to find it online. We'll pick this up in just a little bit. It's Bill and Harry in for Wendy on WGN.
Here comes Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail, hippity-hopping, Easter's on its way.
It's Bill F. and Harry Tynowitz. Harry sitting in for Wendy. She'll be back on Monday. Our guest is Rick Goldschmidt, the official Rankin-Bass historian, biographer, archivist, and author of all great books about Rankin Bass. What is that we're listening to?
I can't believe Easter's coming up on April Fool's Day so quickly. But that is Danny Kaye from Here Comes Peter Cottontail, which is in probably my top five favorite Rankin Bass specials.
It was real. I remember seeing it as a kid. I've not seen it in years, but it was really pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah, because it touches on all of the holidays, and it actually ends at St. Patrick's Day because he's able to give his green eggs away that the evil Iron Tail Vincent Price changed to green and thought he couldn't get rid of the eggs that way. So it was kind of cool.
Rick, you say your top five. How many, you know, we all think of all the Christmas ones. How many different Rankin Bass specials were produced on TV?
They produced about 30 television specials. They did about a dozen Saturday morning cartoon series, and they did about a dozen feature films and television movies for ABC's Friday night movie, like the Bermuda Depths and The Last Dinosaur. And
some of those were real. I mean, I don't know if they'd hold up, but I remember seeing them originally thinking these are pretty good.
Yeah, they're entertaining. Yeah. I can say that. And the reason that Arthur did the Bermuda Depths was because he lived in Bermuda.
This
and
was about
the
Bermuda Triangle, right?
Right, with Connie Selica and Carl Weathers.
Wasn't the guy from The Flying Nun in it, too? Alejandro Rey, I think is his name.
I'm not
sure.
Remember?
You don't remember?
He might have been in one of their movies.
Yeah,
maybe. But not that particular one. Actually, Burl Ives came back for The Bermuda Depths.
He did.
And played the ship captain.
Yeah.
It's such a bizarre movie. It's about a giant turtle.
Right. Right. I remember this. All right. So with their specials, they were almost always stop motion animation. But with their Saturday morning shows, they were just regular animation, right?
I grew up on their Saturday morning shows, not even really putting two and two together, but the Jackson 5 show, the Osmond show, The Reluctant Dragon and Mr. Toad.
Yeah.
They did the King Kong show. I mean, all of these shows.
King Kong, you know the name of King Kong. Right,
right.
The
right.
One? Yeah.
Kid Power, the Tomfoolery show.
That's quite a lineup.
Yeah.
I mean, they really did. They were all over the place.
Monk, right? Tony Shalhoub.
Monk was
he
not
was
there.
Rankin Bass. Wasn't Tony Shalhoub Rankin Bass?
No, you're confusing it. It's
I'm confused.
Not Monk. So that's actually, like I said, they built a really good dynasty of both kids programming and then, like you said, at night, stuff for the adults as well.
Right. I think it was always their dream to make feature films, to do a Gone with the Wind.
Yeah.
And they were on that road, you know. The first movie they did was King Kong Escapes with my friend Linda Miller in 1968.
I don't think I know this at all.
Yeah, the Svengoolie shows it sometimes.
King Kong Escapes.
Yeah, where the Mechie Kong fights with the regular King Kong.
Oh.
And it's one of those Japanese movies where the guys are in costumes fighting each other in karate.
Is the Meisterburger Burgermeister in that one?
He's not in
actually.
Oh, he
Paul Frees is in there as Doctor Who. He did the voice. He dubbed a lot of movies, so if it was a Japanese film, he would dub a voice. And that's the first foray into the feature films, and then they did Mad Monster Party and some other things
that
were animated.
Which you've written the most comprehensive book about. I couldn't believe when I was a kid. I loved that movie when I was a kid. We saw it at a Saturday morning matinee. I never thought anyone would do a book about the making of it, and you just pulled it off beautifully.
Well, I had to because it really, you know, I loved when Nightmare Before Christmas came out in the early 90s, and I really felt like Mad Monster Party was the Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein of animation.
Right.
You know,
it was
such a fun movie, and Jack Davis designed it. And
from Mad Magazine.
He's my number one artist that I love, and, you know, that was the type of art I was doing in college.
Really?
Because my degree's in illustration, so I became friends with Jack Davis, collected everything that he put out.
All
and
the
Mad
movie
Monster
posters
Party.
And everything. He was so good at making movie posters.
Oh, yeah. Mad World and countless others, and it was just, really, I love the art about Rankin Bass. Yeah. That's where they got me. You know, Paul Coker and Jack Davis are my favorites.
Stunning. The work is stunning. I know these dates are coming up later in the year, but please give them out. These are appearances you'll be making.
Yeah.
Talking about Rankin Bass and about the goods that you sell. So where will you be?
I'll be at the Wheaton All Night Flea Market in August.
Mm-hmm.
And Thanksgiving weekend, I'll be at the Chicago Pop Culture Convention. That'll be at the Pheasant Run out in St. Charles. So I'm looking forward to that. And I'll be able to talk about some exciting things by that time.
That you can't talk about now.
Right. Some Rankin Bass, really great things that I'm going to be working on this year. And then I'll have the book out by then. The Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Excellent.
The Making of.
That's outstanding. And again, and just a quick reminder, this weekend it's the Hollywood Show Chicago at the Hyatt Rosemont. The best website to visit is hollywoodshow.com/mainchicago. All the information's there. Great to see you again. Keep up the great work.
Thanks for having me.
That's Rick Goldschmidt, everybody. We'll take a quick break. Harry and I are headed to the stream for the bonus hour, or you can keep it right here and listen to Steve. We'll tell you what he's got next. It's Bill and Harry in for Wendy on WGN.